Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
Like, fear is a very real thing, right? Anyone have any weird phobias or like things you're afraid of? I know the Bible says that perfect love casts out fear, but sometimes, you know, we can all get our little quirks and things. I know even science research lets us know this, that we're all born with two intrinsic fears. One is the fear of loud noises, and the other one is the fear of falling, which I feel like those are gifts from God, man. It'll keep you alive, right? And so not all fear is bad. There's some fears, though, if really we were to analyze them and look at them, can't you agree that they're ridiculous? No? Just me? All right, never mind. Listen, let me read you a couple amazing people with really peculiar phobias. All right, the first one I'll mention is Muhammad Ali, the greatest fighter of all time. Muhammad Ali was terrified of flying. And so actually, there's actually a story where he's flying and he doesn't want to like do a seatbelt in because he doesn't want to be kind of hemmed in on the airplane. Stewardess comes by and says, Muhammad, you're going to have to put your seatbelt on. And he says, Superman don't need no seatbelt. And then what she replied, yes, Superman doesn't need an airplane either. Do up your seatbelt. All right. So he did do up his seatbelt. Another one, like there's some great leaders like Alexander the Great, Julius Caesar, and Napoleon. They were all these great men that conquered lands and territories, and yet they were all terrified of cats. Is that something? Right? And so listen, by the way, this is on the side. I was just going to text this to Viola, but I'll share it with all of you. I stumbled, there was a researchers discovered, did you know that cats, they really do know their name, because there is kind of like when you name your cat, it knows its name. But researchers are like, why do they never respond to the name? Can I tell you why? Because your cat doesn't care about you, all right? Most arrogant creature on the planet. But just not to be outdone, you know, I'll say this. You know, Genghis Khan was another world conqueror, but he was terrified of two things, of dogs and his mom. All right? And so that was that. Gustav Eiffel, the designer of the Eiffel Tower, you guessed it, terrified of heights. And then not to be outdone, the one and only Walt Disney, the creator of Mickey Mouse, terrified of mice. You got it. You got it. And so, you know, in the scriptures, I've heard it said this. I haven't actually counted them all, but they say that there's 365 times in your Bible it says to not be afraid. In fact, if you've ever struggled with fear in your life, I want to tell you, you're with amazing company. Because listen to this, just some of the hit list where God told people not to be afraid. Abraham, the father of faith, God told him, don't be afraid. Isaac, don't be afraid. Jacob, don't be afraid. Moses, don't be afraid. Joshua, don't be afraid. Gideon, don't be afraid. Elisha, don't be afraid. I can fast forward to your New Testament. Mary, the mother of God, don't be afraid. Joseph, her husband, don't be afraid. The disciples, countless times, don't be afraid. We're in amazing company. God tells us, don't be afraid, and here's the reason why. Fear is a thief. It wants to rob you of your destiny and the promises of God. Like we're going to talk about the book of Joshua this morning. And, you know, it's the book where God's people, they possess the promise. It's a book of possessing what God promises to us, a promised land. And so right off the bat, God's going to tell his leader, Joshua, he's going to tell him this, you need to be strong. And you need to be courageous. Be strong and courageous. Four times in the first chapter of Joshua, he's just pounding this in to Joshua, the leader. And so we're going to learn a Hebrew word today, all right? And so the term for strong and courageous is the word chazak, all right? And now you get to do it. It sounds like you're going to chazak. One, two, three, chazak. So we're Americans and we don't do that. So we're just gonna say chazak today, all right? And so what is strong and courageous is chazak. All right? And now here's what you need to say over 300 times in your Bible. God screams out, chazak, chazak, chazak to his people. Why? Because he wants us to possess his promises and fulfill the destiny and the calling that we all have on our life. And I would say this, is that courage is the foundational value that makes every other value possible. So, for example, you can love, but if you don't have courage to walk in love, you won't be loving. You can be generous, but if you don't have the courage to give and to be generous, you'll do nothing. On and on we can go. Courage is unbelievably value and important to us. And so what the devil, the enemy, the schemer, he's going to try and fill you with fear, remove chazak from your life so that you won't obtain and be the person God's called you to be. And so we're the promised land. Do you know that God promised Abraham, this promised land, and yet the people of God, Abraham's lineage, they would not inherit it for 400 to 500 years. Isn't that something? Like, you think you're waiting long, okay? 400 to 500 years awaiting the promise of God. And you might ask, like, why that is? And there's a couple reasons for that. Is, do you know that, one, Abraham had to go from a family to a people, to a nation, right? And so God was growing his people. And also God in his mercy was waiting for the Canaanites who resided in the promised land. God says this, Abraham, you cannot have that land. He says, because the iniquities of the Amorites and the Canaanites are not yet full. So in other words, God is this patient, long-suffering God, 400 to 500 years waiting for these people to repent and align their lives with Almighty God, and yet they refuse to do that. And so here's the big surprise that we're going to find out in Joshua chapter 1. They've been waiting 400 to 500 years to inherit the promises of God, but here's what they're going to find out is the promised land is not a playground, but it's a battleground. And so that should be an eye-opener for all of us, that our promised land is not just a playground, it's not something that's obtained easily, but it's going to take chazak for you to obtain the promised land that God has for you. And so our story in Casket Empty, it's gonna move like this. We get Moses, the great leader, right, that leads Israel out of Egyptian slavery and bondage and then leads them right up to the Jordan River, overlooking the promised land. And what happens? They're unable to go in. Why? Because fear robs them of faith. And without faith, you cannot obtain the promises of God. And so they go back and they wander in the desert until that fearful, frightful, faithless generation dies off and a new generation comes. And now there's going to be a new leader, and God passes the baton to a man named Joshua. Originally in the scriptures, his name is Hosea. Hosea, it means salvation. And then Moses changes his name to Yahoshea or Yahshua. Joshua is what we would call it. Do you know that there's another Yahoshea? In the New Testament, there'd be another man by the name of Yahoshea. But the Greek transliteration of his name, we would know him as Jesus, the one who would lead us into the promised land. And for you and I, the promise is less about land, and it's more about a relationship with God, that Jesus would be the one to reconcile us back to the Father. And so Jesus, his life, it marked with chazak. He was strong and courageous as he walked the earth. So this will resonate. This is pretty fresh in all our memories. August 4th, 2019, there was a young man by the name of Cameron Crowder. He was actually celebrating with his girlfriend, and so they thought they would go out and hit some of the nightlife there in Dayton, Ohio. And so as he's out in Dayton, Ohio, suddenly, amidst the celebration, a crazed man dressed in body armor with an automatic weapon begins to spray bullets throughout. And so as Cameron and his girlfriend begin to run, she stumbles, falls to the ground. And what does Cameron do? This man, filled with chazak, he covers over his girl so that none of the bullets could penetrate her, and he moves her off into safety. And so I would submit to you this, is that courage, it's not the lack of fear, but it's the love of something greater. And so you see Cameron, there was the love. He wasn't, of course he was terrified, but yet there was the love of something greater that he covered over. And God so loved the world that he sent his son down to cover us over in our sin and trespass and absorb the righteous wrath of God on our behalf. And so this is where we're going to head today. We are going to be a people of Hazak. And so here's our text. We're going to be in Joshua chapter 1 this morning. And so I pray, God, you give us grace as we open up your word. We're going to be in Joshua chapter 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 9. And it starts like this. It says, verse 1, it says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Just a little quick pit stop here. Notice this. Moses now is 120 years old, and now he's passing the baton to Joshua. And here's what you'll find consistently throughout the scriptures, is there's these unbelievably great men and women of God who eventually grow old, and they pass the baton, and the story just continues. And now somewhere along the line, someone's passed the baton to you and I, and now we're carrying on the story of God in the earth. I'm also going to mention this to my gray-haired brethren here today. Moses is 120 years old. Listen, I do not want to live that long, all right? I know how I feel now at 50. No, thank you. But here's what I need you to see. While there's breath in your lungs, God is not done with you, that you have a mission and a purpose. So men and women of God, we never retire, but we're on mission until God calls us home. Is that good? That's who we're going to be. And all my gray-haired brethren said amen. Amen. All right. Let's continue. Verse 3, it says, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I've given you, just as I promised to Moses, from the wilderness and the Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. If you have your Bible, you need to underline that. I will not leave you or forsake you. Verse 6, and here's the crux of our message. Be strong and courageous. Hazak, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to the law that Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law, or the word of God, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. And not to be outdone, verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Be strong and courageous. Be Hazak. There's a man, actually, in the second century. His name was Polycarp. He was an early church father. I know that's a weird name, but when you understand what Polycarp means, it means much fruit, that he was a fruitful man. And he was the bishop over the church in Smyrna. It's modern-day Turkey. And as this man served God and bore fruit for the kingdom of God, as he walked in Hazak, eventually persecution of the Christians began to heat up and ratchet up in the Roman Empire until Polycarp, as an old man in his 90s, is arrested by authorities because this man refuses to stop talking about this man, Jesus. And so he's arrested and he's brought into the Roman Colosseum before the throngs of people. And now Caesar has to determine how he's to be executed, or Polycarp can recant. And as this chained saint walks into the Colosseum, he hears the audible voice of God. And the voice says to him, be strong. He says, play the man. And those words strengthen his soul, and to the point where Caesar appointed him to be burnt at the stake. And they went to tie his hands to the stakes. And he says, there'll be no need to tie my hands. He says, the same spirit that kept me these 90 years will keep me attached to this fiery death. And so as they lit him on fire, the Colosseum filled with a fragrance. But it wasn't the stench of burning flesh. It was the smell of frankincense. It's the odor in the temple of God, in the presence of Almighty God. Hazak, be strong, play the man. Be strong. Now listen, we read that, and we can be in a room like this, be strong and courageous, but I just want to be honest with you. When I read that, that sounds unhelpful to me, right? Oh, listen, yeah, there's giants in this land. There's going to be over 31 kings and nations you have to overcome. How many know when you enter into the promised land, there's going to be a lot of bleeding, a lot of fighting, and a lot of dying? Hey, but be strong and courageous. Like, it sounds very unhelpful to me. But then I realized I was reading the text wrong. That God never says, feel strong and courageous. He doesn't say that. He says, be strong and courageous. And those are two very different ideas. He never tells us to feel strong. We can't make ourselves feel anything. But we can do by the volition of our will. We can do what we want to do because God's given us a will. All right? And so, listen, I can be terrified and still be strong and courageous. Isn't that true? So that was very helpful to me, God. And so if you pay attention to our culture today, we're very feely people. Like emotion and feeling has kind of been leading us in our culture today. And to be quite honest with you, it's leading us in places we don't want to go. Like if you were to, Ravi Zacharias says it this way. He says, we're a people that listen with our eyes and we think with our heart. And so it can be very hard. We're getting led into places we don't want to do. And listen, feelings can be real, but be very wrong. Like they can be real, but not true. And listen, I just got to give you a few examples. How many have ever just seen people or heard of stories of people with anorexia? Like we see them, they're bone thin. They're starving themselves to death. But what? They feel fat. They feel overweight. It's not true. I've seen people like, there's people, how many have met that woman who's just drop dead gorgeous, and yet she just thinks she's ugly and all that? And you're like, girl, what are you talking about? See, what you feel, you might feel that, but it's not true. And so we have to be aware of being led that way. And so here's what I want to tell you is that listen, we might feel the threat, the everyday threats that we have in our life. But I want to tell you this, is when you interject God into the equation, those things are no longer true. They're just not. And so, God, he's the one who makes hazak possible in every situation. I don't care what your situation is, because he's God. Paul would say it this way, hey, if God is for us, who can be against us? Right? And so, like, the way men carried hazak in their life, like Moses had to face Pharaoh, and to be honest with you, he felt terrified, but God promised him, I'm going to be with you, and he's able to walk in hazak. That Joshua has got to walk into this land, but he knew God was with him, and so he could rise up to the challenge. Jesus, he knew that he was walking in the will of his Father, and so he was going to walk perfectly in that will and set his people free. And so when you're aware of the presence of God in your life, fear must leave, and it creates space for hazak to enter in. And so God says this to Joshua, like I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you, Joshua. So there's the story of a little girl, her name is Bethany. She was 5 years old, and she received the Lord Jesus Christ into her life. And then as a 13-year-old, like you know what? Bethany loved, like second to Jesus, a close second, was her passion for surfing. And so at the age of 13 years old, on Halloween morning, it was a crisp morning in Hawaii, and she went out with a bunch of her girlfriends before school. And as she's paddling out, and she swam out past her other girlfriends, she wanted to catch the biggest wave. And as she's paddling out, a 14-foot tiger shark comes up, rips her board in two, and tears her left arm from off of her body. And so she says, in that moment, she's terrified, and survival kicks in. And so she's trying to paddle her way back to shore. She gets just close enough to her girlfriends can bring her into the shore. And as she lays on the shore, she just remembers crying out, God, help me. God, please help me. She's lost 60% of her blood. Finally, the paramedics arrive, And as they stop the bleeding and they get her put on the gurney, and as they're putting her on to the ambulance, the young paramedic leans down into Bethany's ear and she says this, "God's with you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you." And she says that was what she needed to hear, that chazak, that strength came into her and peace could remain and see her through that. Fast forward 2 years from then, Bethany would teach herself how to surf. 2 years, she would compete in the NSSA World Championships, and she would win the championship, all right? And so we see this. Her life was so spectacular, the chazak that she demonstrated in her life, that they decided to make a movie about her, right? Soul Surfer, we've seen that. She's got a powerful testimony. But I love her quote. Her quote is this. She says, "Courage doesn't mean you don't get afraid. It means you don't let fear stop you." It doesn't mean you don't get afraid. It says you just don't let fear stop you. And so God is with you. And here's what I know for sure. Some of you, when I say that, it means nothing. Like it's just this, like, because God to you is just a vague, kind of mushy, I don't even know what that means. God is whatever he is to you, right? But then in the time of fear, we have nothing to comfort us or to strengthen us. And so the way we find out who God is by how he reveals himself in the word. And so what is God telling Joshua? Hey, man, you get this word in you. Don't let this word depart from your mouth. You need to meditate up. Chew on it. Why? Because you're going to understand what it means to be in the presence of God. Because when you open the scriptures and you read who this God is, like, this God is mighty. He speaks everything into existence. Everything obeys him. Nature obeys him. Death obeys him. Everything obeys his voice. This is who God is. How about he's holy? Like, he's pure. He's loving. He's merciful. But if you don't know the word of God, these are empty words to you. And so God says, you got to know the word of God. Get it in your mouth. Get it in your heart that you might obey it. So in the book of 2 Kings, I believe it's chapter 18, it's not on your screen, but here's what you'll find. It tells us about one of the greatest kings that ever walked in Judah. In fact, in chapter 18, it says this, that this king, since this king, there was no one like him before and no one like him after. And it's not who you think it is, because this king, he would bring reform to Judah that had been backslidden. And so he went to the high places where they worshiped Baal and Asherah, these foreign gods, and he tore down the altars to Baal and to Asherah. You know that God's people were worshiping a pole. Do you remember the pole with the snake on a stick? They call it Nehushtan. And so they started worshiping this Nehushtan. And what happened? This great king, he grabs that stupid stick and he snaps it in front of the people. He throws it. He says, "Enough. You're going to worship God and you're going to worship him alone." And so this king's name is Chazak, Yah. So Yah is short for Yahweh. Chazak Yah, or you might know him as Hezekiah, right? His name means God is my strength. And so God is with you always and everywhere. And so don't let this word depart from your mouth so you can hear it, so you can do it. Paul would say in the book of Romans that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Can I just add to that a little bit? Chazak comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so here's what you need to do. Listen, we need to position our life for maximum hearing, right? We need to position our life so we maximally hear the word of God. Listen, I need you guys, any tweeters in here? Tweet this out. You are becoming what you're consuming. You cannot avoid it. Whatever you're consuming, you're becoming. And so I want to ask you, what are you consuming? Did you know this, that I shared this with my Connect group the other day, is I researched some stuff, and by that I mean I Googled it. And you know, on average, that we're going to spend 4 hours on our devices today, that we're going to spend 4.5 hours listening to music, and then we're going to spend 3.58 hours watching TV. And so with all that time, what are you taking into your soul, into your heart? Because what you're consuming, you're becoming. And here's what I, listen, don't let me tell you, like, I'm not saying, hey, don't watch TV, and how dare you watch that sitcom. I am not saying that at all. I watch some stuff, man. But here's what I realized. If I watch too much of the wrong stuff, I start laughing at stuff that God thinks is deplorable. And I'm like, where did that come from? If I start listening to stuff that it's not wrong or sinful, but it's also not godly and holy, I listen to too much of that, and I notice my mouth gets lazy, and I start saying things that I'm like, hey, pastor shouldn't be saying that stuff, okay? And so what you're consuming, you're becoming. Get this. Now, researchers found this. The first 20 minutes of your day are unbelievably critical and important. Do you know when you first wake up, your mind's in what they call alpha state. And so it is the direct superhighway to your subconscious. Your subconscious is the lens by which you see the world and you frame your life. And so if the first 20 minutes of your day, your BuzzFeed, Twitter, ESPN, da-da-da-da-da-da, right? If you're doing all that stuff, then now you've just framed your day by that reality. Or you can take the first 20 minutes of your day, consume the Word of God, pray to the Lord God, and now suddenly your day is framed much, much differently. You're positioned for Hazak to work in your life. David's going to say this in Psalm 63:1. He says, oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek thee. Early. King David is going to have, it's not all going to go sweet for King David if you're familiar with his life. I don't know if you know this, but the first king of the nation of Israel is a guy named Saul. He put out a hit, a bounty on David. David would be on the run for some 15 years in the wilderness. He had a ragtag group of people that would eventually turn into his mighty men, but they were a mess for a little while. And so David, as he's out in the wilderness, as he's going out to battle, the Amalekites come in and they raid David's village, taking his wives. I'm sorry, it's wives, but his wives, his children, his goods, and all his men's goods and children and families, and they take them all. And they come back. They see the smoldering village. David sees this. Now, it doesn't get much lower than that. And then I get newsflash, yes, it does, because then David's men said, we need to kill David because this is his fault. But what does David do? Does he, like, just sit in that stuff? He doesn't. 1 Samuel 36, it says this, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him because the people were bitter in soul, each for his sons and for his daughters. But David strengthened or hazaked himself in the Lord his God. How about that? Have you hazaked yourself lately? Come on, man. Sometimes when we just get low and life's falling apart, you need to hazak yourself. So let's be a people of Hazak. Like David learned to put on strength and courage. And do you know this? Like part of the one of the words or definitions for Hazak, it means to bind or to fasten. Here's a little note to you. Like, you know, the Hebrew language, there's very few words. There's 45,000 words in the Hebrew language. Just for context, there's like 171,000 in the English language. And so words can take on multiple meanings, you know, despite whatever the context is. And so it can mean to bind or to fasten to our life. And so sometimes we need to bind on Hazak. Like Paul is going to say in the book of Ephesians, we put on the full armor of God, right? What is he saying? He's saying, I'm putting on strength, Hazak, onto my life. And here's the next point is this, is that, you know what? Sometimes people need to see your Hazak, your strength. Do you know in at the end of chapter 1 in the book of Joshua that actually after God entreats Joshua three times to be strong and courageous, then the people respond at the end of the chapter and they say, hey, Joshua, we need you to be strong and courageous. Why? Because sometimes people, man, we need to see your strength. Like faith and fear, they're contagious. They just are. And so you can see fear, and it can set off fear throughout, you know, your family, throughout your work, throughout your team, wherever you're at. But that's what, when they see faith, they see courage, they see strength, that too becomes contagious. And so I can remember back, I was playing in Atlanta back in 2000. for the Atlanta Thrashers. I was injured as always, so I'm up in the stands. And we were playing against the Chicago Blackhawks, and Chicago had who is known as the toughest man to ever play in the National Hockey League. His name was Bob Probert. He was a terrifying individual, all right? And Chicago was absolutely taking it to our team, beating us on the scoreboard, beating us physically, and all the momentum was with them until there was a young man by the name of Darcy Hordachuk. So my family knows Darcy well. He lived with us. We baptized him in my bathtub in my home. And so most charming kid you've ever seen, but how many know charming can be but good to get you out of stuff and get you into stuff? And it did to him, like, often. But this guy was ferocious. He's probably only about 6 foot tall, skates out to center ice where Bob Probert was. And he approaches him. He drops the glove, which is hockey speak for this is happening. They drop the gloves. And this little guy, Bob Probert's probably 6'4", 6'5", and they start fighting. And Darcy's getting hammered early on until finally Hazak comes over this young man's life. And he starts throwing these bombs, boom, boom, like this, until suddenly Probert starts wobbling a little bit. Everyone on our team's bench stands up and starts hitting the boards until the crowd, 17,000 people, stand up in the stands as he begins to wail and this champion is beginning to go down. And the atmosphere changed in that place. And I think I've read that somewhere before, where there's a little boy, his name was David. Right? There was a Philistine in there, a great giant that opposed, that struck fear into God's army until one boy had the courage, the hazak, to run to this guy. And what does he do? He kills him with the stone, but then he cuts off his head with a sword, and then he displays it to the armies of Israel. Do you remember what happened after that? All the momentum shifted after that, and Israel routed God's enemies. And so we begin to see this. Here's what I want to tell you guys. It's our turn to be valiant. It's our turn to walk in hazak, to be strong, and to be courageous. I'm going to close with this and ask Kim to come to the front. So if you were to go to a Jewish synagogue back in the first century, or even today, when they leave the synagogue, they never leave without saying these words. They'll look to one another, and they'll say this, Hazak, Hazak, Venith, Hazak. And so what they're saying is they look to each other, and they say this. They say, be strong, be strong. Let us strengthen one another. And here's what I want to tell you this morning is this, is, you know, as we're coming off a time of prayer and fasting, I want to thank the men that came out and stood with me in prayer. You know what? Like, sometimes Pastor Dottie's always killing it, and there's all these ladies. Do you know I had a group of men that came and they stood with me? And you know what that did to me? It gave me hazak. I want to thank you, those of you that are faithfully serving behind the scenes in this church. And just when I see you here, listen, I got the easy job. I just show up and preach, and everything's just kind of handled. Can I just thank you? Like, you bring hazak to me and to this staff and to this team. For those of you that you're giving sacrificially of your time, of your treasure, all these things, as you're doing this, I want to tell you, just bring it. You breathe hazak, Lord, into me and into this team. And together, we're going to do amazing things. All right? Would you stand with me?
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, emcnj.org.